Okay, so you said you didn't stay there very long.
No, so about a year and a half in, Deacon New, who was one of the top editors, pulled me aside and said, "Do you have any other place you could go?" And he goes, "No one's questioning your ability, but you're just not Oklahoman material." and that was primarily politics. I was much more liberal than, and the Oklahoman knew that, and they there were some people there that just did their job, and so I was still in that period of still kind of putting to bed all my politics, and so I can't remember what had precipitated, but I realized that Deacon was right. I have great admiration for him. I'm sure he protected me from various people. This is Mr. Gaylord was still alive and running the place. I don't think that Deacon and Jim Standard, who was the managing editor, shed a tear when I didn't come back.
Well, how could you display your liberal bent?
Oh, I probably made some nasty comment about somebody, you know.
Writing?
No, just probably verbally.
Oh. So it wasn't what you had.
No.
You weren't
no,
writing.
Everything. What I was writing about it was just crime stuff.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But it was, they didn't feel you were an Oklahoman on
no,
the staff?
No, I was not an Oklahoman. And I never was.
But the fact that you were doing a good job in print,
right. It didn't. It was not.
You weren't forgiven for that.
That was good up to a point, and then yes.
So we've got to get this guy.
Well, the other thing is that we're not paid much of anything at this point, and so, you know, it doesn't disrupt the organization by letting somebody go.
I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
Yeah, it's just like. I can get a dozen more like that.
Who are more like us.
Exactly.
And of course, you couldn't be more Oklahoman than anybody.
So my first call was to Harry Heath. And Harry was the dean of the journalism department at OSU. And I asked him if he had any thoughts. He says, "I have one, but let me make a couple of phone calls and I'll come back." And I said, "All right." So he called me back and he said, "Here's the deal. You need to go back to Muskogee. They need someone to write politics for 1980. There's a U.S. Senate race, some guy named Bourne, Stipe." And he says, "They need you to do that." And he says, it's got lots of races and lots of other things. And I said, And he said, "As soon as that's done, Gannett will make you an offer."
Gannett being?
And Gannett was becoming the world's largest newspaper chain. And their chairman of the board, Paul Miller, was an OSU graduate.
Oh.
Grew up in Okemah, I believe. And then he went to OSU. And then he went to United Press International, moved around, did a variety of various publications, and then went to Gannett when it was based up in Rochester, New York. And then they, about that time, that's when they started buying newspapers. And they had bought the Muskogee Phoenix from the Bixby family.
But they also went on to buy USA Today.
They did.
Right, right.
And so, I foolishly turned down an opportunity to go work on USA Today. That would have really changed my direction. But because they were out looking for this experiment. Anyway, so I took him. And so I went back to Muskogee, and I covered the 1980 elections. And on whatever it was, November 9th or whatever it was the day after, I wrote to the number two at Gannett, some guy named Al Newarth, and said, "I'm ready to exercise my option." And I had three immediate offers. One was very interesting. It was the Virgin Islands. They had just bought the papers down there. Fort Myers, Florida, and Binghamton, New York. So when I started looking at them and asking them what to do, the Virgin Islands was wide open, totally corrupt. It would have been fascinating, but I'm not even sure where I would have started. Fort Myers, pretty established, high growth area, etc. Binghamton, old school, and they wanted me to cover the mob. And I just couldn't walk away from that, so I went to Binghamton, New York.
To cover the mob.
So the mafia, the La Cosa Nostra, is kind of, most histories, it all begins in a little town right across the border from Binghamton. Binghamton's in New York, just in the Pennsylvania border, called Appalachian. And Appalachian was where one of the bosses had his home. And he had all the bosses throughout the U.S., all 28 of them, come there in 1957. I think that's right. And that's when J. Edgar Hoover had to admit that the La Cosa Nostra was here in America, because they ended up doing a raid and a bunch of them got arrested. The family there was Russell Bufalino in Binghamton, and he was a very strong member of the mafia. And there were other members of the other families, Bonanno family out of New York, and the Lucchese's family out of New York were active in the area, but Bufalino ran everything. So I went up there and covered the mafia.